I have the privilege of being here. I can't believe I'm standing in front of you this morning. I have to thank Pastor Gary Benden. I know it's hard for him sometimes to give up the stage. You know, when you're a pastor and you have so much you want to share. But he was willing to give us this special morning because we want to talk about something very special for us, which is our kids' future, their education. And I want to ask you to please bow your heads so we can invite God to be with us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for giving us this beautiful morning, this Sabbath morning. We want to invite your presence here among us so we can open our hearts and our minds. We need you, Lord. Time is passing by and we want to do something for our kids. Please be with us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This morning, I'm not going to put up a show. Let me be honest with you. I could be jumping up and down, having lights, but I decided not to. I just want to open the Word of God. I want to be able to open my mind, my heart, and let God speak this morning. And I'm going to do it, you know, with whatever I received when I was young. So I'm hoping that some of you might feel the same way. Now, you know, we're all teachers, and we're teaching right here in a school that it's called Glenview Adventist Academy. And let me ask you, what is Adventist education? But before I can answer that, let's look into our Bibles and see some stories about some people, some characters from the Bible that received, you know, education, actually all of them, but let's analyze a couple. And I'm going to ask you to have your Bibles with you, because later on, I am going to ask some of you, or voluntarily, I'm not going to put a finger on you, to read for me. So let's go to the book of Exodus. In chapter 1, we find an interesting story, a story that I knew when I was a baby, when I was young. Can somebody tell me, who are we talking about? I can't hear it. Moses! Moses was a cute baby. Are you with me? If you read chapter 1, you're going to see that Jochebed had a baby. And that baby was cute, was pretty. But there was a problem. Pharaoh was afraid of the Israelites. Pharaoh wanted to eliminate. The population of the Israelites was growing and growing. So he decided to clean the Israelites. So he started killing all the babies, wiping them out. But Jochebed saw his baby and said, I'm going to do something about it. And when you put your child in God's hands, God does whatever, does the impossible. And so Jochebed, those of you that don't know much about the Bible story, put this little baby in a little basket, took him to the river, and asked Moses' sister to care for him. And now here comes the queen to take a bath. Dun, 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 dun. And suddenly, you know, here's a baby. There's a baby. Oh, poof. There's a baby crying. And she was touched. God touches people. But then, of course, you know, Moses' sister comes. Hello, ma'am. How can I help you? Oh, you found a baby. I have somebody. I have somebody that can help you out. Wow. And so the queen decided, oh, that's a good idea. I'm going to pay you, okay? I'm going to pay you to take care of this little baby, which is cute. And I'm going to give you a welfare, okay, so you can raise him until he's old enough so he can come to the, you know, to the kingdom, to the empire. Okay, that's a good deal. Wow. God uses, you know, ways. Imagine Moses without Jochebed. Do you think, you know, he would be on the Bible? Do you think so? Moses followed his mother's teaching till the very end. Interesting enough, we know that God took him to heaven, you know, when he died. Jochebed was the greatest teacher for Moses. Now, how many years did Moses spend at home? About 12. 12 years. The first 12 years, the first years of, you know, everybody's life are crucial. What are we doing about it? Let me move on now to the story of Jesus himself. This, you know, the man, you know, God, you know, human, he was perfect. But he received all his early, you know, years, all his education from Mary. Mary was all, you know, all the time with Jesus, teaching him about his Father in heaven. Joseph, I can see Joseph making all this. He was a carpenter, so he was making all this furniture and teaching Jesus how to be perfect. The academics of carpentry, making everything the best possible way. That was Jesus. And Jesus wanted to be not only with, you know, mom and dad. He wanted to be in the church. Remember when he was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem, and those parents left them over there, and, you know, in Jerusalem. And when they went back, he was in the church. He was a church. He wasn't anywhere else. You see the relationship, home, church, school? So if you think this morning, hey, I don't have kids, I'm young enough, or my kids are grown up, sorry, you're in the wrong place. Because all the kids that are sitting down here belong to this church are your kids as well. There's another story that it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 1. If you want to move now to 1 Samuel, we have a couple. We have Elkanah and Hannah. Hannah wanted to have a baby. And she wanted to have a baby so bad. She was crying. She went to the temple and started, you know, got on her knees and started, you know, crying and crying. Lord, I want a baby. I want to conceive. I can't. I can't anymore. Please give me a child. And if you give me a child, I'm going to give it back to you. Ooh. What do you mean? Give it back to me. That's exactly what happened. 9 months later, we know, and you can read it. I'm just not spending too much time on the reading right now because I want to share with you a lot. But on 1 Samuel, actually, yes, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18. Can somebody please read 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18? Somebody loud and clear. What was he doing? How old was he? A child. Imagine the little kids working at church. Well, parents, I don't recommend this, but Gary, Pastor Benden, please, if a parent comes up to you and says, here's my child, okay, explain to them, okay, we're living in different times. He's like saying, okay. But Hannah decided to give Samuel back to the Lord. And God used Samuel until he was old, until he died. God spoke directly to Samuel. If it wasn't for Hannah, God probably would have chosen somebody else. But because of Hannah's decision, God used Samuel since an early age. What are you doing with your kids? Who's in charge of their education? Are you spending time worshiping with them every night? Are you helping out here in church? Are your kids waking up every morning and just turning on the TV and getting whatever? Who's educating them? And Hannah did actually a real sacrifice. I'm pretty sure that every year she came back to see Samuel and brought some clothes and some stuff. And I'm pretty sure that it was hard for her to, you know, to leave Samuel. But she knew that that was the best thing to do. Now, you know, Adventist education is not free. And many parents come to me and say, I want to bring my child, but I can't. And I know that. We are not receiving subsidies from anywhere else. It's only us. It's not like public system where all the taxes go to the education. So why, let me ask you another question. Why spend money on Adventist education? Okay, and I'm not saying Christian education in general. I'm saying Adventist education. When there are so many good public schools available for free anywhere else. Number one, academics, and we're going to get into that. Our kids are giving us, you know, the results that we're getting from their standardized assessments. Our kids are functioning on the 70 percentile. Do you know what it means? Quickly. 50% means average. Public schools, parochial schools, function in average on a 50 percentile. Kids from Adventist schools are on the 70 percentile. Do you see this? Do you understand what I'm saying? Our kids are 20 to 30% above anybody else. Do you say amen? Amen. Are you with me? Are you still kind of, you know, sleeping? No, this is good stuff if you think about it. 70%, 20 to 30% above anybody else. Now, something else. 90% of the students who graduate from our academies continue to college and get a four-year degree. Amen? So we have professionals. We're preparing professionals. And by saying that, obviously, our kids get more scholarships to go to college and get a higher education. Now, we, as an Adventist, you know, a school, not only focus on academics. Academics is only one piece of the puzzle. Our focus is only on character development. We want our kids to be developed. Do you think that our children are safe in the public system? Are they being taught the principles found in God's Word? Let me tell you what. In 2005, and I've been asking some people because I can't remember the name of the case. If some of you remember, let me know. There was a case in Pennsylvania, a school district, and I still remember driving down I-17. I was going to work, and I remember hearing this over the, you know, the radio, the discussion of this public school system in Pennsylvania that decided to incorporate on their science curriculum an intelligent design concept. You know what it means? Creation. Put God on the science curriculum. And some parents opposed that idea. Outrageous! No way! How are you going to be putting God on science instruction? So they brought a lawsuit against the school district. And this case was brought to federal court. I'm talking about 2005. This is 2008, not so long ago. And after a few months of fighting back and forth, you can do the research. The result was that the federal court ruled that teaching intelligent design in public schools is unconstitutional. Do you understand? God is not in the picture. How can you teach God in a science curriculum? But we can teach evolution, and I'm not going to get into that. But God is not in the picture. And if you pull God from your life, what do you have? Nothing. Where are you going? Let me tell you about my personal experience. I don't have anything against public schools. Please. I've been a teacher for over 7 years. I taught in public schools. I went to public schools because of the circumstances. When I was raised in an Adventist school, until my parents moved here, I had to attend. I was actually attended academy until I was here in the U.S. in 1989, and I had to do my 8th grade and 9th grade in a public school setting. This is what I got. I had a really good school, good teachers. Some of them were mean. But actually, sometimes, you can ask my kids. But this group of friends that I had, which were okay, invited me and started sharing me whatever they were doing. And what they did was pretty much, for example, I remember Victor. I remember George, Jorge, who was a big guy. He was, well, I was short, but he was big. And he always came to my house and knocked on my door. Hey, Gus, come on over. Let's go. Let's have some fun. Okay, you know, my dad's not home, so let's enjoy some, you know, try some beer. And actually, they drank a lot of beer. You know, they brought to school a tiny little bag right here, which was white. You know what I'm talking about, okay? Which was, you know, drugs. I was invited. And my friends came over home, you know, after school, and my parents were working, so nobody could have found out what I was doing. Even Jorge, I know he was having sex with his girlfriend. What's wrong with that? Well, in some public school system, they were teaching about protection, which was okay back then. What are our kids getting? What kind of peer pressure are they getting? Are you following me? What kind of principles are being taught in a public school system? Not so long ago, when I was in the public system here in Phoenix, actually in 2005, I had one of my students who decided to change, she decided to like girls instead of boys and become homosexual. So she started dating another girl. And in one of our staff meetings, the teacher said, we need to accept that. This is okay as long as they don't show affection and they follow the rules of the school. What are we teaching? What kind of, you know, times are we living? The difference between a public school or even a Christian school is that because we are committed, we want to bring God's word in everything we do. Now, textbooks. Let me explain. Maybe I want to get down to the point. Textbooks. How are we as a teachers sure that whatever we're teaching goes along with the Word of God? Well, there's a process, selection of textbooks. There's a group of educators, principals, superintendents, even I believe parents, who are involved in the selection of textbooks for our school. A teacher, I can't go and just pick one textbook from the shelf and just teach it. Because there's some textbooks that are really good, but inside there's some minor things that do not go along with the Bible. So we are very, very careful in what we teach and what we put in front of our kids. And I hope you understand that. That's why this is, you know, our Glenview Adventist Academy is a different school. It's not just a Christian school. It's an Adventist Christian school. And again, why spend money on Adventist education? Academics, but also teachers. Not because I'm cute. Not because Mr. T has a lot of ideas, great ideas. Not because any of the teachers, not because Mrs. Romero wants to improve the school, right? Not because of that, but because we're all dedicated. Not because we get paid a lot of money, because we don't. Because we're dedicated. Because we're professionals. Because we follow a biblical profession, which is found on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. I want to see Bibles. Come on, I need somebody to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Thank you very much. Do you see there's a list, a prioritized list that is given to us, that it's saying, you know, God has given, boom, 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 boom. Now, I don't have anything against doctors, but do you see where doctors are? They're way down. If there's a doctor, please I'm sorry. teachers, where are teachers? Third, are teachers important? Ay, I'm one of them. Now, James 3:1 says, if you want to look up on James, my version says, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. God will come down on us and will judge each one of us according to our knowledge. I know what I'm doing. I know that every single teacher at Glenview Academy, Adventist Academy, knows what he or she is doing. And God will come down someday and will judge us according to what we have done and what we're doing. Teachers also bring relationships with students. It's very different. It's nice. And Miriam was sharing with us her experience at Glenview. In graduation, there are a lot of tears. They're leaving. Oh. You know, in the last 2 years, I was able to get involved with our high school students and spend time not only in school, but here in church. Remember, we had the TGIS, Thank God is Sabbath. We got together, and it was like a Vespers. We got together to welcome the Sabbath, a teacher-student relationship, home, school, church, all as one, educating because we want to see our kids where? In heaven, period. We're not teaching our kids for this world. That's why we're spending money for Adventist education. And not only that, but we want to develop a culture, an Adventist culture, and a type of style, you know, lifestyle that is Adventist. We want to teach our kids how to become Adventists because God is very clear on His Word. On Titus chapter 2, verse 1 says, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. On Deuteronomy 4:9 says, be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Do you see what we're doing? Many of us, as Mrs. Romero shared with you, she came to the school. Now she's giving back. What we received, we're giving back. And our kids are going to do the same thing. So that's why we're continuing this Adventist education so our kids can follow God's values and concepts. Statistics show that about 90% of students who attend our schools continue in the church. About 90% compared to only a 50% in the public system. That's scary if you see it. Out of the kids or students that do not attend our schools, they're probably going to choose something else. And hopefully they're going to have enough time to understand God's way before He comes back. Because I believe that Jesus is coming soon. We don't have time. Satan is like a hungry lion. He wants to devour. He wants to eat. He's hungry. And he wants to take every single of our kids. Now, the last item. We are focused. We're focused only in Jesus. And by being focused in Jesus, we want to show our kids His love. We want to show our kids His gift of salvation. And by accepting His gift of salvation, we are showing them that there's an invitation. There's an invitation as found in Matthew 11:29 that says, come unto me and learn of me. That's what we want our kids. We want our kids to have a relationship with Jesus. Let me read a selection from the book of Education from Helen G. White that says, as he, and refers to the Adventist teacher, awakens a desire to reach God's ideal. He presents an education that is as high as heaven and as broad as the universe, an education that cannot be completed in this life, but that will continue in the life to come, an education that secures the successful student his passport from the preparatory school of earth to the higher grade, the school above. Education, learning, it's not only now, it's not only here on earth, but will continue. I just have, you know, this dream that someday I'll be able to be with my students again. And now I'm not going to be the teacher anymore. I'm going to be with them, and hopefully Jesus and the angels will show me with my students so many more things about the universe, about science, about life, about, you know, everything. And that's going to take place soon in heaven. And I want to be with my students over there. Life, you know, is passing by so fast on earth. Things are happening that I want to be ready to be in heaven with my students and my family. Adventist education, brothers and sisters, Adventist education is important. Why? Because he prepares for eternity. I want to leave you this morning with a presentation about the results of Adventist education. We're not simply making up numbers. We're not just simply talking about this to convince you to give. We are living in a time where we're like a lukewarm church. We have something inside of us that, you know, doesn't want to do much. And it's time to awake. It's time to start doing something. But I want to show you, I want to invite our newest addition, Mrs. Howard, to come up here and share with us what the outcomes are for, you know, of Adventist education.
I am the new kindergarten teacher at Glenview Adventist Academy. I'm very privileged and honored to be able to do this. I taught for 2 years at Tempe Adventist Christian School, and so I'm very blessed to be here with you. I was asked to share with you some of the results of an Adventist education. And first and foremost, I am the product of an Adventist education. From my grandparents who sent my mother and my aunt through school, Adventist school, to my parents who sacrificed to send my brothers and I through Adventist school from elementary all the way through college. So I am very thankful and very blessed for that. And now my husband and I are sending our children through Adventist education because it's extremely important. My mother has several stories. I know it's hard and the sacrifice is great, but she tells often of a story when I was at La Sierra. I had no idea. I had received a scholarship, and she went to pay, and they said, oh, she got a scholarship. God is good, and he will help, and he will bless. I have recently learned some interesting facts regarding the results of Adventist education. Did you know that nearly 100% of Adventist teachers are certified versus only 58% of public school teachers in some states? Did you know that Adventist secondary students are nearly 50% more likely to take advanced placement, honor, or dual enrollment college classes in science and math than public school students? Did you know that of students who apply for admission to medical school programs, 34% of those attending Adventist schools are accepted, compared to that of just 9% of public school students? Amazing facts. We're going to see a video regarding the cognitive genesis study that was done through La Sierra and Andrews University, and it's going to tell you a little bit more about a study they did regarding our Adventist schools. So thank you so much.
Hello, I'm Dick Dirksen, and I want to talk about our children. As part of my job as storyteller for Maranatha Volunteers International, I travel to four continents where Maranatha is busily building or improving campuses of Seventh-day Adventist schools. The United States, India, Ecuador, Mozambique right now. At each school, I meet incredibly gifted teachers, parents, and successful students, many of whom are now sending their own children to the new school we're building. Wherever there's a Seventh-day Adventist school around the world, the church grows, and the economic status of the families improves. And our students, they become leaders in their communities. However, when I come home and share those success stories with friends in the United States, I often see frowns and hear this question. Well, that may be true in the rest of the world, Dick, but here in North America, aren't our children better off in the public schools? Folks give me four reasons for that belief. Number one, public schools are bigger. Number two, public schools are better academically. Number three, they're cheaper. And number four, aren't they more respected than Seventh-day Adventist schools? Those are reasons many of us have heard and used for years. To find out the facts, La Sierra University, my alma mater, with the cooperation of the North American Division Office of Education, is leading a research project that is studying 35,000 students who attend Seventh-day Adventist schools in the United States, Canada, and Bermuda. 35,000. Those are kids in grades 3 through 9 and grade 11. It's one of the largest research studies on Adventist education and the first large-scale study ever done to measure the academic effectiveness of Adventist schools. The study is called Cognitive Genesis. It's already in its second year. There are two purposes to that study. Number one, to determine how students in Adventist schools are doing academically when compared against national norms. Number two, to find out what factors could be related to their achievement levels. Now, in order to find out how students in Adventist schools are doing, we wanted to compare our students to national norms. Now, this includes students in public schools, private schools, and parochial schools, and all of that on nationally recognized achievement tests. That way, we can determine whether students in Adventist schools score higher or lower than the national norm or national average on those standard achievement tests. Now, as you may know, I'm a photographer and a storyteller, not an expert in academic research. But here's where I get to introduce you to a team of experts. Researchers from both La Sierra and Andrews Universities who are doing specific analysis of our students' achievement. That study is called Cognitive Genesis. They're treating the data confidentially, adhering to strict ethical standards, and in addition to comparing our kids' achievement against the national norm, the team is also studying 100 other questions you would be asking. How achievement relates to other factors like the size of classes, how much teacher contact there is? What about parental involvement? What about students working together or working individually? What about the spiritual environment? And many, many more. Here's what they've discovered so far. First, students in Adventist schools score higher than the national average. Number two, students in Seventh-day Adventist schools achieve above their personal predicted achievement at every ability level, regardless of the size of the school, regardless of the number of students in the classroom. Let me try that another way. Here's what Cognitive Genesis demonstrates. Students in Seventh-day Adventist schools score above the national average in reading. Now remember, the national average or the national norm, that includes students in public, private, and parochial schools, all of whom took the same standardized tests. Another one. Students in Seventh-day Adventist schools score above the national average in math. Students in Seventh-day Adventist schools score above the national average in language arts. Now that includes reading, writing, and knowing how to express yourself in English. It's getting repetitive? Be glad, because it's true. Students in Seventh-day Adventist schools score above the national average in social studies. Students in Seventh-day Adventist schools score above the national average in science. And students in Seventh-day Adventist schools score above the national average in sources of information. Now that includes knowing how to use a library and how to Google information on the web. But wait, there's more. The results are the same for small schools and small classes. The results are the same for large schools and large classes. Ah, but you say, my child is different, unique. It's probably true. But since you want the very best academic experience for your child, here's the point that will really excite you. According to the standardized tests, students in Seventh-day Adventist schools achieve above their personal predicted achievement at every ability level. And there's still more. When children go to a Seventh-day Adventist school, they are academically successful, even beyond what their ability predicts. Add this cognitive genesis information to what we have already learned from the previous value genesis studies, and you quickly see that students who attend Adventist church schools are more likely to have a positive spiritual experience. They'll develop social skills that will help them succeed and lead both in their church and community. Now, when I ask people, why do you send your children to an Adventist school? They usually give me one or more of these three reasons. I send my kids to an Adventist school because I want my kids to grow up as dedicated Seventh-day Adventists. And so I want my children in an Adventist environment all through their school years, a place where our values and our spiritual commitment are modeled and encouraged, a place where faith and learning are integrated. Another reason? We send our kids to Adventist schools so they will find Seventh-day Adventist spouses. And Adventist schools are certainly the best places in the world to begin looking. The third reason, it always includes academic excellence. They say something like, I want my kids to have the best teachers who will help them learn the knowledge and skills that will help them be successful in life. Well, let me stop you for just a minute. I talked to an Adventist teacher this morning. You know what she said? I believe that your child is one of God's kids, and I want to be sure and give your child the very, very best. Bring them closer to what God made them to be. That's one of the biggest reasons to send your children to a Seventh-day Adventist school. Teachers like that who transform kids' lives. Now, the value genesis studies, they confirm the first reason. Cognitive genesis, all the research is providing new affirmation for the reason about academic excellence. Your local Adventist church school may well be the best school in the world for your child. And that leads me to challenge you with five action steps. If you're a parent or a grandparent with a school-aged child, make sure they're enrolled where they have the very best chance of success. If you're a pastor, make sure every child in your church can attend your Adventist school. The partnership between Adventist churches, Adventist schools, and families is the most powerful evangelism tool you have. If you're a student, say thanks to your teacher. And if you're a teacher, keep up the good work. If you're a member of a church board or a school board, do everything you can do to ensure the continued success of your Adventist school. Dedicate worship time to celebrate the success of your students and teachers. Communicate the cognitive genesis results to your local school and church. Tell the parents about the advantages of an Adventist education. Ensure that your Adventist school receives all the support it needs. Our students, they deserve the best.
Dear Lord, thank you today for the blessings you have given us and our children. May we take the message we heard this morning to heart and set our priorities straight. Please bless our school this year, Lord, and may all that we do be to your glory and honor. Be with us now as we leave this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.